An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 19. From the Fat into the Fire. Piper felt Zonk's hand holding her still as the ropes binding her were sawed loose. First her wrists, then her waist, onto one leg, then the other. Rope by rope, Piper's bonds fell away. Piper stood, shaking, until Zonk came up for air again behind her.
"Zonk, you shouldn't have come," she whispered.
"Why not?" Zonk asked. Her voice was soothing. "You don't begrudge us our own adventure in the Neverland, do you?"
"No, but if anything happens to any of you, I couldn't stand it," Piper said.
"The only thing happening is you're free," Zonk said, with a smile in her voice. "Now, time to swim. See that point on the other side of the cove? That's our rendezvous point." Her voice took on an edge. "Start swimming, now."
"The others?" Piper asked.
"Haven't you heard those ghost calls?"
Recognition sent a shiver down Piper's spine. Guilt twisted her gut. The others were serving as bait, while Zonk freed her. Oh, no!
Zonk gave Piper a push. "Go, swim, now!"
"What about you?"
Piper tried to quiet the shaking of her limbs, the chattering of her teeth. Some removed part of her noted she must be in shock.
"Never mind about me. I have the longboat here."
Piper started. She hadn't recognized the boat. Upside down in the water, it looked completely different.
"Oh, well, I'll hide under it too," she said. "I'm not leaving you."
Piper gasped at the sound of 20 pistols firing at once, but the scream that followed rippled through her like a chainsaw. Deafened as Captain Littlejack was by the cacophony of 20 pistols firing, he couldn't miss the scream. It was a babe, if the wailing that followed was any measure. Although which of his tiny victim's souls might be wailing in his woods this night, he hadn't a clue. The ghostly wailing had been bad, but this was worse. A child ghost was the worst curse a pirate could call down. Every pirate took a step back, then another, and another. A few more steps back and his crew would be running away in terror. "Don't move a single muscle," the captain said, his jaw clenched. "Any of you, or it'll be your last."
"Thumb!"
Piper and Zonk spoke the little girl's name at the same time, their bodies jerking automatically toward shore, toward the scream and the sobs.
"No!"
Zonk grabbed Piper by the shoulder and yanked her back.
"Whatever it is, getting ourselves caught won't help."
Piper's mind raced. Clearly Thumb had been hurt by something, maybe a bullet, maybe something else, but that scream was no sham. She knew real agony when she heard it. They would have to assume the worst and go from there. Thumb might be fatally wounded. An image played on the edge of Piper's awareness. She lay in her birch bark hammock and spiderweb hammock suspended from the hollow tree while Belle applied tears to her scrapes and scratches. The abrasions had healed at once. Piper breathed out a hiss of air. All day she'd used thoughts of Belle's betrayal to fuel her anger and hence her courage as she waited to die. She'd heaped all of her pain and rage on the ancient fairy. It was Belle's fault she'd lost her parents, Belle's fault she'd arrived too late in the Neverland, that she hadn't made friends of the other foster girls. It was certainly Belle's fault the two of them could never work together like a proper person and her fairy. The last thought nearly drowned her in sadness, so she'd scooted on from there. She'd almost had a fairy of her own. Losing that, of all things, was just too much to bear. She'd been glad that she'd never see Belle again. Better to be drowned by the tide than by the overwhelming pain of being betrayed by your very own fairy. Well, Peter's very own fairy, anyway. And now, it turned out, Captain Littlejack's very own fairy. But With Thumb's life in danger, she had to see Belle again. She had to free the fairy from that jeweled cage, and hope against hope, the little two-timing wretch wouldn't be too drunk to summon those healing fairy tears. Getting Belle was the only sure way to save Thumb.
"I know a way." Piper set her own hand on Zonk's and squeezed. "Give me the dagger."
Zonk handed her the dagger, hilt first. Piper grabbed hold and slid it into her belt.
"Thumb will be all right."
Pip hoped her cracked voice sounded convincing.
"Stay here. Stay hidden. Stay safe, okay? I'll go get what we need."
She took a huge breath of air, dropped underwater, and pushed clumsily off the pier. Numb as her legs were, she hoped she could swim underwater far enough. As Midge swung around, heart thumping from the crack of gunshots, the lantern dragged across the table. Plates and glasses crashed onto the floor. She nearly dropped the lantern right then to set the ship ablaze. Her hand shook, and she thought she was going to puke, but something shiny drew her gaze, and she swallowed back the bile. It was a gold and jeweled encrusted hanging thing. She moved closer to inspect it, hands unsteady. Her already charred system got yet another shock when she heard a high, gravelly voice from inside.
"Help me!"
Midge tried to peer inside but could see nothing.
"It's me, Belle," the voice came again. "I'm in here."
The old fairy. What in the heck was she doing there? A quick once-over showed Midge that the golden thing was tied shut at the bottom. She set the lantern down on the nearest surface, a decorative side table, and used both hands trying to untie the knots.
"And who in bloody blazes are you?"
A nasal, sinister voice came from behind her. A short, scruffy pirate stood in the doorway. It was the lookout, and he held a pistol. Without pausing to think, Midge grabbed the lantern and threw it at the pirate. Praise luck, it hit the pistol, knocking it from his hands before shattering on the floor. Flames leapt up immediately. Kerosene splashed on the man, and he screamed as his sleeve caught fire. He turned and ran. Midge was right behind him. She couldn't let him warn the pirates on shore. She needed more time for the fire to truly take hold, and mostly to keep herself and the rest of the merry band safe. The sailor jumped for the ladder. Leaping up, she grabbed a foot, using all her weight, trying to drag him back below.
"Curse ye, you black-hearted witch! Leave me be!"
The man gave a mighty kick, and Midge fell to the floor. Hands scraped, knees bruised, she clambered to her feet, scrambling up the ladder after the lookout. The moment she hauled herself on deck, she rearmed her slingshot and let fly, just as he reached the rail, hands raised in a megaphone shape to warn the pirates on shore. She heard a thunk and saw the man's head drop forward. She let out her breath in a whoosh. Had her aim really been that good twice in a row? Another figure appeared at the rail, this one boarding the boat, now face to face with her head-lolling victim. Arms came around the lookout. Midge struggled with her wet pocket, trying to free another pebble. The figures grappled. Suddenly her lookout assailant toppled over the rail, pitched by the new arrival. She raised her slingshot to try her luck a third time, just as the man hit the water below with a splash.
"Midge! It's me. Are you all right?"
the new person spoke. It was sheer luck she hadn't already sent the pebble flying by the time she figured out to whom the voice belonged.
"Piper?"
She ran to the wet figure and flung her arms around her.
"You're free! Are you all right? What are you doing here? You were supposed to swim to the rendezvous place unless..."
Midge's eyes widened. She pulled black and clapped a hand over her mouth.
"Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no!"
"What?" Piper was shaking her, trying to reach her through her panic.
"Belle is below."
"I know," Piper said darkly.
"Yes, but the cabin is on fire,"
Midge said, and stumbled as Piper pushed her toward the ship's rail. "Get out of here, Midge. Get to the rendezvous. Do whatever your plan says to do next." Piper pushed her again when she hesitated, then dashed to the aft hatch. Midge crowed 3 times, climbed back down the rope ladder, dropped into the water, and dog-paddled toward the rendezvous shore. On the beach, the pirates backed toward the water, away from the pitiful sobs and the woods.
"I said, don't move a single muscle."
Captain Littlejack's voice was quiet and definitive.
"Before anyone does anything, I want that torch carried out to the piling."
The one-eyed sailor came to life, lit his torch, and ran into the water. Clearly he felt he'd been given the best assignment. He passed the first piling, the second, neared the third. He lifted the torch. The orange glow pushed back the darkness. Captain Littlejack could see the top of the third piling, but no victim.
"Drat it all forever! I've missed the execution!" he yelped.
All that waiting and he'd missed it! He stumbled to the water's edge and shouted commands.
"Dive in and untie her, you bloated sea scum! I want to see Pan's body!"
The pirate settled his torch in the sand and waded farther into the water, checking the dagger at his belt. Resting one hand on a bobbing log for balance, he aimed for the piling and dove. All eyes watched from shore. The one-eyed fool probably couldn't see properly, the captain thought. Why else was it taking him so long to cut one small girl's bonds? Little Jack stared, willing Pan's limp body to appear. The torch wobbled as the waves undercut its footings. Slowly, it tipped toward the water. As it fell, the captain and his crew caught one final sight before it fizzled out. The log slipped past the piling, revealing the one-eyed pirate's body floating face up, his dagger thrust in his breast. When the thrice-repeated sound of a cock's crow came from the Jolly Roger, all eyes turned toward the dark ship. Uneasy muttering rose from his crew. Captain Littlejack sniffed. He thought he smelled smoke. Not from the bonfire, but coming in on the tide.
"Fire!"
The first voice barely whispered the word. Then it rose, repeated, one man to the next. Flea stumbled toward the captain, feet tripping, knees shaking.
"Fire, Captain!"
the little man saluted. His hair, always wild, stood on end, and his wonky eyes rolled in separate direction.
"The Jolly Roger's afire, sir!" "Well, do something about it, Flea!"
the captain roared. Groups of men ran to the water's edge, then halted. They pushed and shoved, all trying to get into the rowboat at once.
"Aye, aye, Captain!"
Flea called. His muffled voice came from the center of the rowboat, now heaped with pirates. If the idiots didn't take care, they would capsize the boat and never reach the ship. The captain knew better than to command them to swim. After the death by stabbing of their comrade, no one would face the sea spirit's wrath. Captain Littlejack wanted to kill someone, anyone within reach. The sound of a cock thrice crows was the signature sound of a Pan. He, the scourge of the seven seas, had been outwitted by a Pan. And not just any Pan. Worst of all, the Pan who'd slipped through his grasp this night was a mere girl. Someone would suffer for this, not the least of which would be the girl herself. Piper thanked her lucky stars she'd been on board the Jolly Roger before and knew where she was going. Smoke filled the captain's quarters, crowded with hammocks. Smoke filled the crew's quarters, crowded with hammocks, and fire licked down the hallway. She pulled her wet sweatshirt up over her mouth, dropped as low to the floor as she could, and made her way on all fours down the hallway as fast as she could go. At least her hair was wet. It might just singe rather than burst into flame. The fire raged in Captain Littlejack's quarters. Piper shook with fear, but the thought of Thumb dying drove her forward. Charging through flames to the porthole, she thrust it open, leaned out, and gasped in fresh air. It revived her,
but did nothing to dispel the horrible taste and feel of smoke in her throat, eyes, and nose. Heat blasted behind her. Sucking in another sweet breath of air, Piper held it. She hauled the back of the neck of her sweatshirt up, hooding her head, and dove toward the place she'd last seen Belle. Pulling her dagger, she slashed the tie holding the jeweled cover and grabbed hold. Hot metal seared her hand, and she let go, yelping. Snatching the first fabric her fingers found, she yanked the tablecloth from under the cozy remains of Belle and the captain's last supper, pulled free, sending the rest of the china, food, goblets, and silverware flying to the floor. Tablecloth clutched like a hot pad, she snatched at the jeweled cover again. This time it came off. A pitiful figure, tiny, white, and feathered, lay on the cage floor. "You better not be dead." Piper scooped up Belle and pulled her encircling hand inside her sleeve. It would cut the smoke and hopefully shield the fairy from flames. Now to get out. She wished she could fit through the porthole, but there was no chance of that. Back the way she'd come? There must be a closer ladder leading above deck. Piper charged out the door, ignoring the blisters rising on her bared tummy, and turned left. She only found the forehatch by following the billowing smoke. Up the ladder she went, one-handed, not even feeling her burned feet. Her lungs wanted to burst. She needed air. Reaching deck, she staggered, her head too light. She fell and rolled, conscious of protecting her hand and its cargo. She smacked into something and prayed it was the ship's rail, not a mast. Clawing her way up, she found the top. It was the rail. Somehow she got herself on top of it and launched herself into the sea. Zonk waited until all the pirates had returned to the Jolly Roger before moving. Pan had swum off ages ago. Zonk could only pray she'd accomplished whatever it was she said she'd do to save Thumb. She hoped it didn't have anything to do with the fire and shouts from the ship. It was madness out there, and she couldn't bear to think that after all their work to free her, Pan might once again be a captive on the Jolly Roger. Belly down on the sand behind the overturned longboat, Zonk lay hidden. She'd had to wait a good while. The entire crew insisted on going back to the ship by rowboat, refusing to swim the short distance. All of them were terrified of the avenging sea spirit. She shook her head when she heard the name. Avenging Sea Spirit. Zonk shuddered. She hadn't wanted to kill the poor man. But when he dove in search of Pan, she was there instead. Only his amazement at finding someone freely swimming about instead of a drowned prisoner allowed her to steal his dagger and stab him before he did just that to her. At last, the beach stood empty. The moon's dented face shone dimly between one set of clouds and the next. It provided enough light to see by, now that the bonfire no longer blazed. The pungent smell of doused charcoal warred with the mouth-watering scent of pork fat. Torn between pinching her nose shut and salivating, Zonk watched the sky. When the clouds veiled the moon, she made her move. Flipping the boat right side up, she grabbed hold and pulled it up the beach. It came easily, still light from fairy dust. No one aboard the Jolly Roger would be watching the shore after the evening's terrifying losses, but she stayed as low as she could all the same. She uttered a prayer of thanks for her dark skin. It had helped her remain undiscovered in the water tonight. It was a plus not to glow in the dark like Pudge. She thought about going for the rendezvous point. She hadn't heard a sound since Midge's rooster crow. Her knees felt weak, and she tried to keep the awful images of Thumb, wounded, from parading across her mind in a dreadful repeating loop. She wished she could paddle the longboat across the water, but she'd no oars. She might be spotted anyway. Too risky. Maybe some of the girls were close by in the woods.
They'd taken three pirates captive, unless Zonk had mistaken the men's bellows and screams. Even if most of the merry band had gone to the rendezvous point, someone had to stay here to guard the captives. They couldn't possibly drag three grown men through the woods. Puckering her lips, Zonk whistled a quiet copy of a rooster's crow. That was as close to a code as she could think of. The wood's stillness answered, broken only by the angry pirate captain's voice from the anchored ship. She shook her head, unsure how to proceed. She didn't want to stumble around in these eerie dead trees all night, looking for her mates. Then a faint whistle sounded in response. It was a teeth-only whistle, not a full-fledged pucker-up-and-blow one. That had to be Stinky. Zonk smiled in spite of the worry that gnawed in her belly. Leaving the longboat at the edge of the trees, she followed the sound. As she moved into the woods, she stopped now and then to whistle, adjusting her course as needed. After a few minutes of weaving through the trees, she saw a tiny clearing ahead. Zonk moved closer, taking care to tread quietly. The moonlight revealed three terrified pirates, bound, gagged, and seated in a clump on the forest floor. Stinky stood in front of them. With her feet planted wide, a sword in each hand, she looked like an avenging blonde angel. Maybe Joan of Arc had looked like that, Zonk thought, if she'd been a little bit girly. Nice, Zonk said. She wanted to laugh. The scene looked so outrageous, but she made an effort to keep her voice serious. I told them if they'd moved, I'd poke out their eyeballs, Stinky said calmly. And I still will, she said, threatening them with her swords. Where's Pan? Stinky asked. Zonk noticed, with a remote part of her brain, that Stinky no longer sounded stuffed up. The Neverland must be good for her, too. She's fine, as far as I know, Zonk said. I got to her in time. Thumb? Stinky asked. Zonk felt the rush of fear return, full force. I don't know. Is she going to die, Zonk? Zonk shook her head, trying to look calm when she felt anything but. Pan said she had a plan. Piper nearly passed out when she hit the water, having thrown herself from the Jolly Roger. The coolness felt good after the fire's blistering heat, but the salt made blisters on her belly and feet burn. She pulled toward the light, aware of the need to keep Belle from drowning. She emerged palm first, checking to make sure the little old fairy was still there. She was, crumpled in a heap. Treading water, Piper gently rolled Belle, limp, soggy, and singed, onto her side. "Don't you dare die on me," she said to the fairy again. Belle had to be all right, for Thumb's sake. Shouts from the ship made Piper turn her head. Pirates were swarming aboard, running, creating a bucket brigade. Too bad, Pip thought. I wish the whole thing had burned to a crisp. She scissor-kicked through the water, putting more distance between herself and the Jolly Roger. The last thing she needed was to be hauled back aboard and condemned to a more immediate means of death. The fairy in her palm started coughing up water. Convulsing, she hacked and wheezed, finally making it to a kneeling position. Piper felt a rush of relief. She ignored the mess Belle was making in her hand. Belle was alive. A glowing face came toward Zonk and Stinky through the trees. Pudge, is that you?
Yeah.
Pudge had stopped, doubled over. She gasped and wheezed.
What is it?
Zonk came to Pudge's side, crouching so she could see the big girl's face in the moonlight. Had the worst happened? Had Thumb died?
Are you crying, Pudge?
Zonk peered into Pudge's eyes.
I don't think so.
Another long pause while Pudge drew long, scratchy breaths. What happened to Thumb? Was she shot? Pudge shook her head. She could still barely talk.
Not shot. Stabbed.
Stabbed? How? Did one of the pirates get her? Zonk wanted to shake the answer out of her fellow foster friend. She bit her lip, forcing herself to be patient. Another shake of the head.
A bullet hit her tree. A branch splintered. A piece of wood flew into her side. Stabbed her. Bled like a stuck pig.
Zonk felt the blood drain from her head, and her ears rang like she was going to faint. Is she dead? Pudge stood and shrugged helplessly.
I don't know. I ran right back here to help Stinky.
Belle knelt in Piper's palm, held above the waves. Every fairy inch of her ached, throbbed, or burned. She couldn't seem to get her lungs to take in and release air without setting off violent coughing and gagging fits. Surely she'd swallowed half the inlet by now.
"Glad to see you, too,"
Belle wheezed, her throat finally cooperating enough to form words. "I didn't say that," Piper snapped. "I just said don't you dare die on me." The girl's eyes were green slits, and Belle could feel the rage sparking from them.
"You betrayed me."
Belle shuddered. The little blood left in her head drained, and she felt faint. A fairy that betrayed her human was lower than low. Even Pearl, the fairy who dealt in black magic, had never stooped to that level. She clutched her middle and coughed, trying to cover her emotion. She hadn't really done that, had she? Somehow she had to regain her composure, try to get the upper hand. "I can explain," she began.
"Oh?"
Piper barked the word, and if her eyes had looked daggers at Belle a moment ago, they shot flames at her now.
"Don't even try," she snarled.
Belle felt something she hadn't felt for 5 years. Shame. She'd last felt it the night little Jack captured Peter's daughter, Angela, and her husband, Giorgio. The memory seared through her belly and twisted her heart. Belle could have warned them. She might have been able to save Angela and Giorgio, but she'd done nothing. Oh, she'd argued with little Jack over it later, and she'd left for the Crystal City in protest, but she hadn't even tried to save Piper's parents. All the blood rushed back to her face with the memory, heating her stint-dinging skin.
"That's better," Piper huffed.
Belle noticed Piper was swimming with the hand holding her aloft. The girl's breath came short with the effort. Belle felt her accusing stare. Cheeks burning, she refused to meet Piper's eyes. Piper made a scornful noise.
"Now listen up. You owe me big time, and you'll start paying your debt tonight."
Belle's throat was raw from coughing. She stared at Piper, wondering what was coming next. She wished she had that glass of after-dinner sherry now. She could use it.
"If there's anything you need to do to generate those healing fairy tears, you'd better start doing it right now," Piper said,
teeth gritted to stop them chattering. Belle could see the girl's goose flesh and feel her shivers.
"Thumb was hit," Piper said. "Shot, I think."
The look Piper sent her might have been a whip. Belle shuddered.
"I expect you to heal her," Piper continued. "That's the only reason I didn't let you go up in flames along with everything else in that ship's cabin."
Belle sat, still wobbling. She took a deep breath. Lifting her chin, she spoke.
"I'll do all I can for Thumb, of course, completely apart from the debt of my life."
She paused a moment, choosing her words.
"I won't try to explain my behavior."
Piper made to snarl at her, but Belle struggled to her feet and held up a hand for silence.
"We'd only argue over it, but let me say that it was for love of the Neverland."
"Are you sure it wasn't for love of yourself and that pirate?" Piper sneered. Belle blanched.
"Take me to Thumb. What else can I do to repay my debt?"
"I'll let you know," Piper said. "I'll call on you to keep the other girls safe at any cost, believe me." But what about you? Belle asked. She'd never meant to betray Peter's heir, not really. She'd only been trying to find the fastest way to save the Neverland. The thought of the girl held captive by pirates facing imminent death honestly horrified her.
What about me?
Piper looked startled by sincere concern.
Don't you worry about me, she said. I'll be fine.
No, she wouldn't, Belle thought. She didn't want anyone getting in the way of her vengeance. She sighed, suddenly exhausted. This child was loyal and brave. Any fairy would be delighted to have a person like this. Why wasn't she wise enough to be grateful for those qualities? But Belle couldn't help but feel irritated that the child wouldn't just forget revenge and learn to fly. There were so many better ways of making her parents' sacrifice worthwhile. Why couldn't Piper seem to see that? Obviously, she'd rather go out in a blaze of glory. The stubborn set of Piper's jaw told Belle she hadn't given up the idea of taking the pirate captain down with her. Belle was too exhausted to speak her piece. She would just have to take things a step at a time and hope she could change Piper's mind along the way. They had reached the rendezvous promontory. Piper stood in the water, set Belle on her head, and walked to shore. Belle plunked to a seat, unable to remain standing. She certainly couldn't fly. Grabbing handfuls of Piper's hair to steady herself, she peered into the gloom. Dark figures huddled in a tight group next to a lone birch tree. Belle felt the lurch in Piper's gait as she stumbled toward them and understood Piper was every bit as exhausted as she was. When they got close, one of the figures stood, and Belle could see the small figure lying prone in the circle center. "This is it, Belle," Piper muttered. "Time to save a life." She was in an untenable situation. Betrayed by Captain Littlejack, she had, in turn, betrayed Piper. Belle straightened her spine. It stopped here. From here on, she would claim the responsibility that was hers. And somehow, she had to make it up to Peter's granddaughter, if the child would let her.